It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 18th day of November 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's, of course, also where you go if you'd like to participate in the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between the great globe around. None of this really matters, though, if you're listening on the podcast, so there's that, too. Hi, I'm Bob. Sorry about missing yesterday, but it's been two brutal days, three, and heart-wrenching, too. Bottom line is, Berg's in the hospital, had kind of a relapse, and we're trying to get him the care that he needs, and that has taken up the last couple of, well, the biggest part of the last 2 days, part of this one. It's rough, but he wants to get better, and we want him to get better, and I know y'all do too, so thank you in advance for your kind wishes. So, here we are. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Folks gathering in the virtual cathedral, even as we speak. If you pop into the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Squeaky. Capably moderated, of course, by pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator, all-around great guy, and brother deacon, Steve from Georgistan. Right. I think I just promoted Steve to deacon, which is cool. It'll be fun over there. Every program here at The Horn... Dadgummit with the phone call. Stand by a minute. Oh, never a dull moment, but it's not, at least it wasn't bad news, so we're good. But anyway, as I was saying, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And so, as a consequence, we have thank yous to send out for our 18th day of the month subscribers. And that would be a big thank you to a friend of ours overseas who wishes to remain anonymous. And thank you very kindly to our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor, who set up a brand new subscription today. And happy birthday! Happy birthday to Joy in Ann Arbor. I hope you enjoyed your walk today there in the frozen wilds of Michigan. Thank you to Stephen. Thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to Grace. Thank you, Laborman Gary. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Brendan, for jumping in. Thank you, Nina. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you, Jack in Shreveport. And I think that covers it, because Jack jumped in on Monday's program. So thank you all most kindly for helping to keep this non-capitalist program on the air. Thank you very kindly. Where does that leave us? Thanks to Chris in Germany for finishing off the last of the anonymous challenge from Monday evening. Thank you very kindly, Chris, and thank you to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal, a la carte. Where's the fundraising goal right now? Well, it sits at $4.95, because because of everything that was going on, I didn't add in yesterday because I wasn't here. That's on me. So it's at $4.95, and hopefully we'll knock that down so that we're not just absolutely buried come Thursday and Friday. But $4.95 is where we are. And with that having been said, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got a lot of prayer meeting stuff out there. But I had posted an idea. And frankly, it's something that dawned on me because of what we've been dealing with over the last couple of days. You read stories and you think that you are at least engaging in sympathy or trying to be empathetic. But when things are happening to you, they have a way of being right up in front of your face. And so I had to drop off some stuff for Ferg. He needs, like, you know, pajamas and socks, underwear, things like that, deodorant. And neither his mother or I can go see him because of this goddamn pandemic. This godforsaken pandemic that has left nearly a quarter of a million people dead, if we haven't passed 250,000 by now, who did not have to be dead, with people dying alone, at best with a cell phone held up so loved ones can say goodbye and hope that their chemically coma-induced loved ones, who are horizontally crucified in an overtaxed hospital somewhere, overworked and underappreciated, can say goodbye. I saw a remark on Twitter from a nurse who said, "You know, we don't need you to blow your horns at 7 o'clock every night. We don't even need the pizzas that you kindly send in. What we need is for you to wear your masks and stop the spread of this killer." And of course, we had over the weekend, what was her name? Daring, who talked about the horror. She's a nurse in South Dakota, talked about the horror of watching people come into a hospital burning up with COVID, denying they have COVID, denying it, declaring it's a hoax because their God Emperor told them so, and they read it on Facebook. Yeah. and denying it and denying it and denying it until the garden hose goes down their throats. And they can't deny it anymore because they can no longer communicate like a human being. Anesthetized, immobilized, flat on their bellies, with a machine doing their breathing for them until there's no reason for the machine to even try anymore. And they die wondering what in the world hit them, because they have been the victim of a deliberate campaign of malicious, malignant disinformation that preyed upon their ignorance, their gullibility, and in all too many cases, their stupidity. And it takes a toll. It takes a toll beyond those people who are dying in and because of their ignorance and stupidity. It obviously takes a toll on the healthcare workers taking care of them, watching this all happen, whether it's a nurse, a CNA, whether it's housekeeping staff, or the wealthiest doctor in the entire building, a toll is being taken. And because at the same time, running parallel with all of this, we are dealing and have been dealing for well over a year, years in fact, with the deeply frustrating process of trying to get mental health, behavioral health help. Well, it just sort of screamed in my face, and I realized that, and I put this on social media. When, and I'm optimistically saying when, we get competent governance and we finally beat back this god-awful Trump pandemic, the Trump virus, and things begin to settle back into something that we like to call normal, then another pandemic is going to begin. And that's not really true, because that pandemic is already well underway. It's just being overshadowed by the Trump pandemic, the Don virus. And what I mean by that, there is going to be a nationwide pandemic of PTSD that is going to leave entire generations shattered and shaken. You know, back in the early 1920s, when so many expatriate Americans were taking up residence in Paris in the aftermath of the First World War, because Paris had felt its share of the war, but they'd managed to keep the Germans out. A member of the literati by the name of Gertrude Stein, who ran a bookstore, did she? Or was that someone else? I'm thinking about Shakespeare and Company. But anyway, she held Salon in Paris for the likes of Ford Madox Ford and F. Scott Fitzgerald, and of course Hemingway. And it may be apocryphal or it may be true, but during one of those salons, she is said to have looked at Ernest Hemingway and said, You are all a lost generation. And to those living in Europe who had lived, especially who had lived in the war zone, it was. The people who had been marched over by the Kaiser's army in Belgium and France, the people in Germany who had felt the wrath of the Allied armies as they pushed them back across the Rhine, and economies that went into free fall. Everybody living there probably was a lost generation, or maybe multiple generations. But for the most part, that term, the lost generation, was applied to the literary movement, of which people like Ford Madox Ford and F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway were the leading lights. And frankly, American military personnel did come home from that war, from the short period of time that they were involved with it, with their own cases of shell, what was then called shell shock or battle fatigue, and which we now recognize as post-traumatic stress disorder. But as to Americans, it really wasn't that large a percentage, and I'm not by any means discounting the experience, but the fact of the matter is, if you want to talk about a lost generation or lost generations in the United States of America, this is another one of those moments when we find ourselves looking back at a time that there is no living American who can tell us what it actually felt like. At the close of the Civil War in 1865, we had multiple lost generations in this country. We had one significant percentage of the population of this country who had been traumatized for over 200 years and would remain traumatized in the aftermath of the Civil War, the rise of the Klan, Jim Crow. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And not until 2020, with the arrival of this pernicious, vicious, negligence and viciousness-driven pandemic we'd ever experienced. James in Illinois points out that it preyed on their common hatred. It weaponized it. Yeah. And so the point that I reached and I'm trying to explain here is that we don't, it's like a 1-2 punch. First, we had the opioid crisis, and it completely overwhelmed the entire mental health infrastructure of this country. Slammed it, drove it into the ground, exposed every fissure and flaw, every fracture in a system driven almost entirely by the persistent, pernicious yearning and worship of holy profit, profit, just for the sake of clarity. Hi, Clarity. And we weren't even back on our feet from that. The mental health community and the medical community were still reeling. And we can add another factor into this, we have to go back to 2012 for this. That day when old Balls and Strikes John Roberts declared that that Merca and his originalist textualist constitution could not tolerate the idea that the federal government could force the states to take free money so as to ensure a vastly higher number of their uninsured citizenry via the Medicaid expansion. The state of Texas recently reached the million infection mark and did so with the single largest number of uninsured people of any state in the union. And because states like Texas and Alabama, Georgia and Tennessee, Mississippi, Florida, South Carolina, refuse to accept that them Yankee dollars, their hospitals began closing. Because by not accepting the Medicaid expansion, they were ineligible to receive the monies that would have come with it to support more medical services to more American citizens. So in a way, it's like watching a boxer who's already on shaky legs take repeated body blows, and then when the pandemic arrived here, it was a shot straight across the jaw, and that jaw was glass, and it shattered. And so here we are. A healthcare system driven by profit, driven by corporatism, driven by capitalism, on the verge of abject collapse. And the people whose bodies have been fed into a capitalist meat grinder to support it and feed it, themselves on the verge of collapse too. It is bad and getting worse, and God alone knows this prayer meeting Wednesday what it'll be like by the time Joe Biden's hand comes off the Bible on January the 20th, 2021. It will be at one and the same time one of the most hopeful inaugurations we've had, probably the most hopeful inauguration we've had since March of 1933. But like the inauguration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, it will also be among the grimmest inaugurations we've ever had. Even in the midst of the Great Depression, I suspect they managed to have a couple of inaugural balls for FDR. As I think I said recently, I have no idea how you hold an inaugural ball during a pandemic. And God knows Joe Biden will be savage, if he even attempts it. The right-wing media will have kittens with crocheted tails live on air if that turns out to be the case. But the real horror is going to be for those frontline healthcare workers, like I said, be they nurses, CNAs, maintenance staff, doctors, lab technicians, phlebotomists, what have you, pulmonologists. They are the ones who are going to be, to use a term from 102 years ago, shell-shocked. This is going to be a country with entire generations in PTSD. And we have nowhere near. If we didn't have the staff to deal with the opioid crisis, this is going to be understaffing on steroids. It reminds me of the aftermath of the Black Death running through Europe around 1347. By the time it was over, the entire medieval social structure had been upended, because no longer were people tied to the land, because there were so few people to do the work, they could begin to set their own terms. Maybe that's how this works out. I don't know. But a nation that toys with the idea that it has some shred of common decency needs to begin to prepare itself for the aftermath. For, as the saying goes in military terms, winning the peace. And this country has never been worth a tinker's damn when it comes to winning the peace. So, you know, I guess this is because I'm Bob Kincaid, Little Ray of Sunshine. But I felt like we really, really, really needed to devote some time, some energy, and some intellectual heft to trying to imagine an America after the pandemic and what a recovery might, maybe, look like. You know, David in South Carolina, Stan, says, Putin and the Kremlin know us much better than we know ourselves. They've exacerbated every one of our weaknesses. Donald Trump was installed to further accelerate our destruction. All this chaos is exactly Vlad's goal. Now he can sit back and watch us destroy ourselves. Yeah? But he's going to have his own problems. Because Russia is afire with it too. And if we don't have the resources to deal with it, they don't in spades. And then there's the other ugly reality that infectious disease specialists and epidemiologists, even now in the middle of this, are worried about. And that's the one that breaks out next. Because there's another one coming. We don't know where, we don't know when, but we know that we live in a world that is so interconnected now that these things can scarcely be stopped. So just a little something to think about. And when I posted that on the social media, I got a response from a dear friend of the program. Your post about caregivers and PTSD. My spouse is going to quit their job as area lab director due to stress and the pandemic. And the pandemic has not begun to crest. We're still on the upslope of that godforsaken hockey stick. The call-outs, the retirements, the overwhelming workload has the whole hierarchy crumbling to pieces. Now, this isn't opinion. This is facts on the ground. The top brass management's response to staffing shortages is to, one, up the productivity demands to 228% of pre-merger levels, while separating SARS-CoV-2 to some nebulous category that doesn't count as productivity at all. And two, require all management staff at every level write a daily report detailing why productivity demands weren't met. holding up a reverse-facing mirror doesn't work. And this isn't unique to our particular merger. Although the enormous debt that one of the companies brought to the marriage means that capital comes before caring. Even one of the biggest providers in the country, who is at present still solvent, is struggling to retain personnel due to workload. My spouse is thinking of renting a place in a town a few hours away and maybe going to work at a little bitty hospital until we're old enough to be eligible for Medicare. It's clearly the right thing to do. She has worked, and get this number, she has worked for her hospital for 37 years and says she's walking away. Can you imagine what sort of horrifying, awful conditions would cause that kind of loyalty? 37 years in the same facility. I mean, there are probably buildings on that campus that weren't even there on her first day at work. 37 years is a lot of time in a human lifespan. The people who have come and gone. The cherished co-workers who simply aren't with us anymore. The elders who passed on knowledge and then themselves passed on. Can you imagine the conditions that would cause that kind of loyalty to walk away at a time when she's most needed? And I won't even mention the number of zeros left on the table. The coming PTSD is currently and present TSD. The coming post-traumatic stress disorder is present real-time traumatic stress disorder. And I thank our correspondent for that. Because it's part of what makes me love the conversations that we have here. Because I can have something dawn on me. And then a member of our community will speak up and say, yeah, it's like you said. And here's how it already is. Sometimes it's, no, it's not like that. It's like this. And that works to our advantage as well. This is the kind of thing that puts this community so far ahead of the curve. We've talked about it as a joke in the past. But it was only about half a joke. I trust that this is an issue that's being considered in some ivory tower somewhere. Yeah, maybe it's being considered at the Harvard School of Business, where whatever solution they come up with will be a monumental fuck-up. Because monumental fuck-ups are the specialty of the Ivy League schools of business. because the Ivy League schools of business, and well, let's not leave out the Chicago school either, because they're a giant hive of assholes, are concerned and consumed only by the relentless pursuit of profits. And the coming horror that I fear is going to be one in which we persistently continue to insist that the money people have an inalienable right to have their hands in the till as we try to heal a blasted nation. So I just wanted to put that out there for the community's consideration, and I welcome your thoughts on all of it. And there's and James in Illinois says of inaugural balls, if they try to have him, they'll make sport of him when he doesn't. You can't win with these people. You know, Joe Biden wasn't holding an inaugural balls. Can you imagine the economic impact of that on Washington, D.C., especially after the pandemic? But God forbid he holds one. If he dances with Jill, the incoming first lady, it'll be, why are they flouting their own coronavirus rules and regulations? What a hypocrite! And this, in turn, is part of what makes Joe Biden's sincere call for civility so highly unlikely. Because if we stand down, if on January the 20th, 2021, let's see, are we going to have a program that day? My God, how about that? January the 20th, 2021 is, by God, a prayer meeting Wednesday. So we'll have an inauguration prayer meeting Wednesday. Maybe we can do a social experiment. Remind me as we get closer. Maybe on January the 20th, 2021, we'll talk about happy things. We'll come up with 3 hours of nothing but sunshine and violets and roses and talk about the spring that will be drawing ever nearer because we'll be past the winter solstice. The days will be growing longer as we get toward the vernal equinox. We'll talk about the return of civility and the dawning of a new era of decency in America. And then, on January the 21st, 2021, which will be a thorn in the side Thursday, and won't that be appropriate? We'll take a look to see how much civility the White Wing hate machine had on January the 20th, 2021. I don't have a bunch of money to wager with, but I got a fin that says that on January the 21st, 2021, we will not have any problem filling 3 hours with account after account after report of pernicious, hateful vitriol directed at Democrats, at Joe Biden. There will be cries that the streets of Washington, D.C. were filled with Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Soros-paid protesters. Jot this down. November 18th, 2020. That is a legitimate purple, a tattered purple robe with the frayed moons and stars. Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby painted in glow-in-the-dark paint across the front. Prophecy. Yeah. I've actually, you know, I hate missing the program. But there is no way, and there's no way I could have done one yesterday. There's just sometimes that you can't pull your mind into the place you need to be to do something like this. But I was eager for today. Really eager for today. Because I wanted to talk about all this. And as far as proof, David in South Carolina stand. Mayo Clinic, 900 employees at top U.S. hospital catch COVID-19 in 2 weeks. Via The Guardian. The Mayo Clinic. And they're catching it because of the COVIDiots and the mask holes. Midwest Hospital says most staff were not infected at work. It shows you how easy it is to get COVID-19 in the Midwest. And, of course, Minnesota is on fire because of, among other things, the Trump super spreader rallies, the bioterrorist in our White House at 1600 Black Lives Matter place insisted on foisting upon the people of Minnesota. Dr. Amy Williams, Dean of Clinical Practice at the hospital, said the vast majority of staff who were infected, 93%, were not infected at work. Most of those who were infected at work, the 7%, got it because they took their mask off during their breaks to eat. And those 900-plus employees at Mayo Clinic, they represent a third of all employees who have been infected since the start of the pandemic. 2 weeks, one third. The Guardian goes on to cite Lost on the Frontline, a joint effort by The Guardian and Kaiser Health News, investigating the deaths of 1,396 healthcare workers who appear to have died of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. A dear, dear friend of mine just gave me the happy news today that although he still feels like shit, he has tested negative for the coronavirus. Happiest news I've had all day. The Guardian points out that the dreaded winter surge is here. On Tuesday, yesterday, there were 161,000 new cases. And the number of people hospitalized in the United States is at 76,830 human beings. In Minnesota alone, the 7-day moving average for new cases was 7,402 yesterday, the highest it's ever been. A majority of hospitals in the Midwest are really stretched, and many of them are absolutely full. All 32 of the ICU beds designated by the Mayo Hospital in Rochester, Minnesota, are full. 32 ICU beds designated for COVID-19, and all of them are full. Again, Dr. Amy Williams said, we have 32 COVID patients needing tertiary care, and that's not good. It tells us we are in a surge. Oh, and I need to send out thanks to the lovely Christine. I swung past the mailbox today, picked up a lovely gift of some winter warm-up supplies. Thank you very kindly. and also picked up the mail and had a note from the lovely Christine. And so I should take the fundraising goal down from $495 down to $445. Thank you, Christine. Thank you very kindly. Now, like I said, I had to go out and had to go to Beckley for Ferg. That's why I dropped by the mailbox and birds, stones. But before I ever got there, the day kind of went to hell. Yeah, okay, not God. But I don't like getting upset. I don't like getting angry. I don't like losing my temper. All three of those things happened today. Turned out, before I headed to Beckley, I had to put fuel in the vehicle. Well, that was, and I stopped at the usual place where I get my fuel. I get 3 cents off per gallon, you know. So I'm always really persnickety about making sure that, you know, the thing kicked off at, you know, 10.7 gallons. So I very carefully, because, you know, the gasoline foams and you let it settle back down. Very carefully got it up to 11 gallons, so I'd get 33 cents off on the whole thing instead of 30. Yep, I got some Scots in me. But while I was in there, just paying for my gasoline, I had my mask on, had my gloves on, taking all the precautions. Because the fact of the matter is, in the United States of America in 2020, masks apparently are a political statement, and they are damn sure the answer to a living IQ test. And we know, of course, that West Virginia failed its quadrennial one question IQ test. And we did, it wasn't even close. The test is pass fail, but Jesus, there's failing and there's failing. And I don't really know how to describe how this came about, but a guy had pulled up behind my car as I was fueling, driving a Jeep, I think. And, you know, older guy, big, beard, gray hair and beard, got out and pumped his gas, didn't put a mask on. Now, again, we're in the ultra-mandatory mask mandate in West Virginia now. And the store is papered with signs that say, "No mask, no entry." And the signs on the doors are in red with white letters, 2 feet, 2.5 feet wide by a foot tall. "Please wear a mask when you enter this store." And so I'm standing there paying. I get done. I put my wallet away. I reach over there for a couple of pumps of the hand sanitizer. Because, you know, whenever I see it, by God, I use it. And I'm meticulous about it. I work it into the spaces between my fingers. I do each individual finger. I do the palms of my hands. I do the backs of my hands. And make sure I get the thumbs and the little space between my thumb and my fingers. Even with gloves on. And I turn around, and the guy who had been out at the gas pumps is standing behind me about 2 feet away with no mask on, just a huffing and puffing. Another step or two, and we would have been the butthole to belly button. And we were definitely in LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and grabulating distance. And I turned around, and I said, Please back up. Please move. Why aren't you wearing your mask? Everybody in this store, I am, every clerk in this store is, why aren't you? It is now ultra-mandatory because the governor, Jim Justice, said so. He just looked at me and said, I ain't gonna wear no mask. I said, well, I really don't want to be this close to you, and I don't have any way of escape. I need you to back up. And the staff, one of them with her mask hanging below her nose, just stands there with this guy huffing and puffing, and for and as likely as not, spewing viral particles all over the store. And wouldn't move. I guess he'd got his dander up, and from the looks of him, he had a surfeit of dander. And I said, I really need you to move. I want out of here, and I want away from you. You won't wear a mask, even though it's the law. Move. And he didn't. He didn't move. And then I used my my Dune voice, you know, without the weirding module. And I won't replicate it for y'all because I've recently been lectured about the damage that my voice can occasionally do to sensitive audio equipment, speakers, and the like. Probably particularly awful with headphones on. But I said move in a real big loud voice, and he finally did. But I still had to come within 2 feet of him to get out the goddamn door. And no, there was no video of it because I don't go wandering around shooting video because usually there's nobody in there and people have been wearing masks. And as I walked past him, he looked me in the eye, opened his mouth, stuck out his nasty tobacco crumb coated tongue, and went, and I can't remember now if I called him a fucking idiot or not. Because by then, the staff had come out and said, now, we don't need this yelling in here. And I said, no, what you don't need is this viral moron in here. Oops, yelled. So, checked in with the county health department. And then checked in with corporate. And checking in with corporate was an exercise in monumental futility. Because it was explained to me that, well, our lawyers have told us that we can't ask nobody to leave because of HIPAA if they might have a health condition that means they don't have to wear a mask. I said, then you have a terrible lawyer. Because that is 200-proof bullshit, and it's the kind of garbage that's been promulgated all across this country by people who simply don't think it's real. I said, call your risk management people and lawyers and ask them if litigation against you is real. If someone gets this virus because your staff refused to obey the mandate. And I said, meanwhile, let's take it a step further. Let's assume that he has great big galloping purple polka dotted blue screaming asthma. One, what's he doing out during a pandemic? Two, If you won't tell him to put on a mask, why didn't anybody in your store tell him to move 6 feet away so I could leave the damn building? And even after coughing in my face, still didn't ask him to leave. I'm glad I was wearing a mask, and I have two members of the fraternity of Steve to thank for the fact that I had a mask to wear. And when I got out, I told Agnes about it. She's furious. And Nurse Agnes kicked in. And she said, because I had to go to Wally World next because I was getting stuff for Ferg, like I said earlier. She said, you hose that mask down with alcohol and throw that and your gloves away in the garbage there. Don't leave them in the car. And you spray down every part of the front of you with that alcohol spray, too. So that's what I did. I don't know if alcohol is bad for, I think alcohol probably doesn't hurt woolen fibers, but I don't know how the synthetic shell of my puffy vest is going to respond to it, but we'll find out. But this is why there are there are 250,000 dead Americans. Because that guy is all over this country. That guy's all over this country. And that guy's wife or mother or sister are all over this country. Agnes, I just told him that you're fucking furious.
Oh, that's putting it mildly.
Well, step up and speak into the microphone, dear.
I don't want. That's putting it mildly.
Here, I'll give you a little more gain.
Am I that quiet, Bob?
Yes, you are. Now you can be heard, dear. You want me to show you on the meters?
No, but I'm not going to be that quiet when I go out in public. I've been hidden away for a while. And if they want to do this, that's fine. Let them get up on me. Somebody sticks their tongue out and coughs on me, I'm going to trachea punch them. And it caused friendships to be destroyed today. So that's fine. They want to be assholes, I can be a bigger one.
Oh yeah, one of the people who wouldn't speak up.
Who told you to leave?
Who told me to leave is recently pregnant.
Was a friend to our children in school. So we're not doing this.
Lee in New York says, "Hi Agnes."
Hi Lee. Okay, I'm not going to
spend a day.
I'm not going to throat punch anybody, but you know, it's too much. It's all too much.
Well, and the thing is, at this point in time, no, I didn't take pictures of him. I didn't take pictures of his truck. I didn't take pictures of anything. I wanted the hell away.
Wait a minute. There's a video of it. Unless they scrubbed it.
Well, I mean, there's store video of
but
it.
But if you get sick and you make me sick, I'm going to go back. Because I know where it came from.
It's.
And we'll all share. We can be miserable together.
But this is the thing. There's no doubt in my, that wasn't a Democrat. That wasn't somebody that voted for Ben Salango or.
Well, no,
or,
it's not. At this or, point, it's
or
not even
Joe
about,
Biden.
No.
But it is. It
no.
is, dear. It is. Because at this point in time, the people who won't wear masks are the same people who go to maggot rallies and then go back home in Minnesota and give 900 people
there's something you're
who
forgetting.
Work at the hospital, the Rona.
There's something you're forgetting.
Oh, don't you crank out Kumbaya on me.
Am I kumbaya, really?
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to make an excuse for a bunch of ignorant maggots.
No. What I am going to tell you is that it's a pandemic. We're mammals. We're animals. Some people retain that reason of being a human being. Some people act like the animals that we are. So if you're going to act like an animal, I'm going to treat you like an animal. And if you're a bad puppy, I'm going to smack you on the nose.
Well, Stephen, New York is saying, no throat punch, Agnes.
Oh, I
do that. Do that heart punch thing Uma Thurman did in Kill Bill Volume 2. What's that called? A precardial thump?
Yeah, pretty much.
He can be taught.
Five finger.
Silent R. Lamar says, punch them all and add a swift kick below the belt just for me.
Well, evidently it's going to come to that because it seems like it's gone crazy here. But then you got Jim Justice to thank for that, too, because he doesn't know what to do.
Well, no, and that's what I was informed of today when I spoke to corporate. I said, didn't he make it? Well, he said it could be obstruction, but then he backed off of it and said it wouldn't stick.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, that's funny. Then how about a bunch of coronavirus people go to his Greenbrier and hang out with him? Because he seems like he's not in the best of shape.
Well, that's the other thing. This dude was obviously a walking mass of comorbidities,
and doesn't care.
And it's not that he doesn't care. He's one of those people that the nurse in South Dakota was talking about. Saying, well, I can't have the coronavirus. It ain't real.
Well, anybody that's ever watched an intubation or assisted with an intubation knows exactly what it is, and it's horrible. Been there, done that, got that T-shirt. Don't want to go back again. And if you're going to give me something, because you can't know.
Yeah, see, there's Steve. Don't ever mess with the Viking warrior pharaoh princess. Oh, shit.
Oh, no, I'm not even a princess. I'm more of a knight, guys. I get cranky.
Don't punch, Megan says. Carry Lysol. When they breathe on you, spray it in their direction. If it gets in their face or eyes, oh, well.
Megan, that would be mace, honey.
No, it'd be Lysol. The only thing is, Agnes would then hold a flaming Bic under it and let it turn into a flamethrower. I've seen that happen.
Okay, that's true. I love you. Bye.
I love you. But see, everybody says report it. To who? Cops wouldn't have done a goddamn thing about it. And yes, Steve, in New York, you're right. He probably was a Christian. He probably was. Although he didn't look like a front-of-the-pew type. NPR just reported that, yes, we've crossed the 250,000 people mark in the United States dead because of people like that. Cough, cough, says our buddy Jug. That's why I wear a face mask, just saying. I know. And, yes, the way I said move was, in fact, as Flavio, our master practitioner of the art of word knowing, points out, stentorian. It was stentorian. Face, and Jug of Punch points out, face shield. I wear a shield and a mask. That's wise. Jack in Shreveport, gas station. I wonder if the store employees have a little thought whispering around in their head that the piece of selfish shit moron might come back with his freedom protector. Still, they could have used a calm tone and told the guy what good old Jim Justice ordered. There's a lot more to be said, but I'll just add the freedom protector thing. At that point in time, I wasn't even thinking about whether he was packing heat. I didn't care. As far as I was concerned, the weapon was in his mouth. So, you know, like I said, it was a day. South Carolina positivity, our COVID test positivity rate is above 17% now. McGovernor in South Carolina wants more schools open for in-person classes just as COVID is surging. Because, by God, he's going to wipe out that surplus, that surplus Meemaw and Papaw population. Uh-oh. Silent R. Lamar says, I wanted to say more, but you've caused me to take an injury timeout. Talking about the Ivory Tower business colleges, as well as the very mentally challenged Chicago School of Business. Yes, the one that fucked up South America. I'm going to end here. I understand. I do. I so do. Flavio points out, Rochester, Minnesota is 1 hour away from La Crosse. This whole area is a red zone for COVID-19. Local authorities are urging people to stay home if they can. We can't count on the state, what with our Supreme Court and legislature. Jesus, we're so fucked. And yeah, Steve, yeah. So, these are the fellow Merkins we're supposed to listen to and unify with? Yeah, I know. I know. That's why I'm saying it ain't going to happen. They don't want it. And Steve in New York's been talking about trying to craft some sort of a Lysol pistol that he can carry with him everywhere. And he says, my Lysol gun seems pretty prescient all of a sudden. Yeah, it does. And I mentioned the lovely Christine a little bit ago. Dave in the Blinds says, I was with my beloved ex-wife, Christine. We came out of our blinds today to go and look at a new house that she's looking at renting. She told me today that to celebrate, regardless of the weather, she's going to make crown ribs with apple-flavored Crown Royal whiskey. Oh, damn. Now, I don't know if she's going to set this up as a true crown roast or if she's going to simply cut the ribs and make them into a barbecue delight, but she'll have her liquid smoke. She doesn't have a smoker and her whiskey and her water, and it's a two-day affair to celebrate the holding action that will be the Biden administration, and she loves Kamala Harris. Excited. She's so excited, Christine is. Signed, your buddy, Dave, in the blind. Thank you, Dave, and thank you again to Christine. Lee in New York says, polite disagreement. My mom was intubated years ago. COVID is not the only reason for intubation. The COVIDiot patients will tell you they must have lung cancer. No respect to the Viking warrior princess, Viking warrior pharaoh princess. Oh, I know. My mother died on a vent in 1997 before there was ever any such thing as even SARS-1. Good idea. Steve says, what about a Wednesday on the front porch sacristy roundtable for the inauguration? That sounds like a good idea. And then we can have Thorn in the Side Thursday the following evening. Megan says, wait till they certify the election results. That's when the maggots will explode. We won't have to wait until January. Oh, that's true, too. And we saw the shenanigans in Michigan. Tried to stop the state of Michigan. I think it was Wayne County, Detroit. A pair of Republicans tried to stop that, and they got their ass stopped cold. But that is the that's the point now, or that's the that's their strategy from that leading light of the law, Rudy Giuliani. He says the whole point is to lose cases so that one of them will somehow or another manage to filter up to the Supreme Court. Hell of a strategy. Subject line, Republican test. Our governor here in Iowa must be more Republican than yours. We have more COVID and we still have no mask requirement. Just call me Frank from Iowa. Thanks, Frank. Well, that's like something Justice said the other day. Now, some of y'all might want to go to South Dakota because they ain't got no mask mandate. Well, let me make myself perfectly clear. They got half the people West Virginia does and way more than twice as many cases as we do. Yeah. Pepper spray gun. David in South Carolina stands, says, I have a pepper spray gun that I use to encourage raccoons to leave my yard. Should work on mask holes, too. I'll bet it does. Okay, we can do that. I have to express some goodness, says Steve in New York. I love you, and I really do. And not a stoned or drunk, I love you, man. I really do. I love all the horn community. I think we really need a big cyber horn group hug. Can we take about 5 seconds for a horn group hug? Yes, we can. We got 5 seconds for that. Starting now. I even added an extra 5 seconds in case people needed to get ready. Thank you, Steve. That is some goodness. Jeremy in Vermont says, we will pass the number of Southerners who died in the entirety of the Civil War in the next week or so. Yes, 258,000. Milestone by horrifying milestone. And it's a, there are lovely things that happen on this program, speaking of goodness. You may recall that a few nights back, Shorty arranged for her friend James Warren to call in toward the end of the program and talk about his father's exploits as part of the Tuskegee Airmen and the injustices that he had to face. That was the 11th, 7 days ago, Veterans Day. Jude says, I offer you the enclosed prior email exchanges. Hi, Bob. Thanks to Shorty, we were introduced to James, and we were educated in a history that had been hidden. I felt a deep, burning gut discomfort and shakenly ashamed moments as to one more time in history and one more injustice directed upon Americans who happen to be black. James offered to the community the opportunity to reflect also on our purpose we are called to this day. These focused and disciplined Tuskegee Airmen laid their bodies, minds, and hearts on the line for us. Let us not in any way negate their patriotism. Hearing of their enduring respect under demeaning conditions and all while serving this country of ours, it was an awakening listening to James last Thursday of the honor he offered regarding his father, a Tuskegee Airman. Amazing, Bob. And so now Jude is getting a copy of James Warren's father's book. The Tuskegee Airmen Mutiny at Freeman Field. Thank you, Jude. Thank you. Intubation. Flavio says, when I was a kid, I used to swallow paint and other dangerous stuff. You know how kids go through an oral period, the terrible twos. And my parents would rush me to the emergency room, and they'd stick a tube down my nose, down my throat, to my stomach, and to irrigate my stomach. I think it happened twice. It was the most uncomfortable feeling in the world. Yeah, there was a time we were down in Alabama. Ferg was just a little guy. And my father had heart medication that would be deadly to a child. And we weren't sure whether he had gotten a hold of that, or whether Ferg had gotten a whole, had just jammed a package of Equal, you know, they were, and because they were the same color blue. And his tongue was blue. And so off to the ER we went, and they forced him to drink activated charcoal. And then we got to watch Ferg Technicolor yawn for an hour or so. Turned out it was, in fact, an Equal packet and not a deadly heart medication, deadly to him. I hadn't thought about that in years until I saw that email from Flavio. Yeah. Jesus. These things. Robert in Australia says South Australia has gone into full lockdown. Universities and schools are closed. Pubs and cafes are closed. If it was open, it's closed. This is due to a cluster of 23 new cases. Australian stats to date, cases, 28,000. Total deaths, 907. Robert in Oz, in isolation. And that's what you have to do. But you have to have a government that is not so obsessed with business that it can't see that you can't do business if you got no people. Well, what is it? 63 days to January the 20th. And a reminder, of course, the special election, the special runoff election in Georgia is January 5th. Today is the first day that the government can start sending out absentee ballots. If you live in Georgia and you've already requested one, you should probably be seeing yours fairly soon. Today is also the cutoff date for the ballot hand count that the Secretary of State of Georgia, Raffensperger says will maybe net Donald Trump a couple or 300 extra votes, but certainly not enough to make up the 14,000 by which he is behind. Right. So, well, I'm not going to go into that because I'm going to be covering for Malloy tonight. And I'm going to focus on that since Malloy, you know, is a Georgian and all of that. So stick around for that. Steve in New York says, I also have to express some sadness. I've actually got tears in my eyes. I won't be able to see my dad, stepmom, brother, sister-in-law, my niece and nephew for the first time in at least 10 years for Thanksgiving. I won't get to go to Ottawa to visit my partner for Christmas and New Year's. We weren't able to have a memorial for my uncle when he died on September 4th, 2020. While I loved and enjoyed the horn group hug, I'm heartbroken that a generally depressing holiday season will mean me alone. Bob, I've never hated, never truly hated. You know, because real, genuine, no kidding hate involves every cell, every fiber of one's being. That's what makes it so consumptive. And you'll know it when you feel it. I've never hated, truly hated anyone until Donald Trump, Steve says. I literally, genuinely, and unequivocally hate him and every last person with the name Trump or anyone associated with them. And yes, that includes Little Boron. I understand. It is not the most ennobling of human emotions, but it is an understanding one. All right, Brother Deacon Asa, I think you're trying to be a troublemaker here. Y'all are being too soft, Bob. You need to start packing heat and stand your ground in these cases. Out this way, Costco says it's too bad if you have a condition and can't wear a mask. You wear a goddamn face shield. We're not that sharp. This is West Virginia, Asa. I mean, come on. You live in civilization, bub. As to other things that will deal with this problem, Les reminds us a can of Hornet spray will get the job done. First the eyes, and then when he opens his mouth to scream in pain, finish the can down his neck. Eventually something like that will happen. Eventually. I'm still hot. Because it's a frightening thing. Because I guarantee you that dude was not otherwise social distancing and remaining home except for when he came to gas up the Jeep. And this is a gigantic pain in the ass. Because now, because Agnes, who won't let me back in the house if I don't obey, now, when I want kerosene, I have to drive all the way to Fayetteville. And that's it's more gas. But sweet Jesus, hopefully, well, never mind about all the hoping. It's not going to make that much of a difference because it's not like, Fayetteville might be a little bit more enlightened, but not a lot. Steve, I'm sorry you're going to be alone on the holidays. If there was some way humanly possible, I'd make damned well sure you're not. But I'll try to be on the air as much as possible. Probably not Thanksgiving night, but most likely the Wednesday before and the Friday after. Now let's go ahead and look and see, look ahead. Well, Christmas falls on a Friday on the front porch. So that's something to think about. Arnold in PA tells me all the mascals here are right-wingers. I love Agnes's spirit. You're a better man than me. That dude would have thought he met a bear. And good kerosene is 7 miles away. Thankfully, the vibe at that particular store is okay. Cowbell for a good vibe at a convenience store that carries good kerosene in rural Pennsylvania. We need a poll, Lee in New York says. Where will Trump be at noon on January 20th, 2021? Golf course, White House? One observatory circle because he knows Pence will be nice to him? Mar-a-Lago? North Korea? Hey, I'll put 50 cents on the Philippines, and then I'll put another 50 cents to hedge on Brazil. What the hell? Let's live big. I'll put 50 cents on Panama and 50 cents on Istanbul. That's $2. Mm-hmm. I had a note come in from Darlene in Connecticut. Washington Post, coronavirus live updates. Pfizer to seek regulatory review for its vaccine. New York City closes its schools as cases rise. Whoa, says Darlene. The average daily number of patients dying of COVID-19 in the United States has reached a level not seen since the outbreak surge during the summer. And I fear that at some point in time, we will look back on this horrifying number and think about how horrified we were now as compared to the awfulness of what's coming. Well, I tell you what, I may have wanted to get on the air, but I don't know if it was for the right reason. Oh, and Brother Deacon Asa says, also back to Silent R. Lamar's comment. May I point out that the Chicago School of Economics is only the second worst thing to come out of Chi-Town. I mean, there's always that dreaded Chicago casserole. Ah, thank God for the intervention of some food anti-porn. There are, you know, people get really, really finicky about their pizza. Any New Yorker. But Brother Deacon Asa maintains a degree of, I would say, hatred for what is called Chicago-style pizza that approaches epic status. You'll notice he uses the dreaded Chicago casserole. I've had Chicago pizza. It wasn't bad. But I remember Bourdain wasn't particularly fond of it either. Did I say Constantinople? I thought I said Istanbul. Istanbul, not Constantinople. It's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Yes, I remember. Thank you, Steve. They might be giants. And as to the New York City school closures, Lee in New York says it's because the positivity test rate hit 3%. 3%. Jesus. The positivity rate in Minnesota, in South Dakota, in West Virginia makes 3% seem positively prudent. Oh, and I had a lovely note from Joy, who's celebrating her birthday up Ann Arbor way. She said, having a great time and the day's not over. This morning I watched the play Our Town with Hal Holbrook. I haven't seen it in decades. Watch it on YouTube if you can. It's a marvel for us in our middle years. I thought I might be a bit bored, but felt driven to see it, and I'm so glad I did. I saw things I haven't seen before. That's the way it is with great theater. She said, she was taking a walk this morning in the 24-degree frozen Michigan wasteland. She said, I'm a cold-weather gal, so I'm as happy as can be. New family game for tonight. Puns of Anarchy. Ooh, that sounds fun. I saw a game earlier that it was like Poetry for Cavemen or something like that. One of those people sitting around having fun. And it comes with a blow-up caveman club. You thought I was going to say something else when I said blow-up, didn't you? Pervert. But no, it's a. And apparently, if you get something wrong, you get whacked with the blow-up caveman club. Tell me that doesn't sound fun. Okay, Brother Deacon Asa is now defending himself. He says, I want to know that if I pass out drunk on a Saturday night with a slice of pizza in my hand, that I won't drown in it. All right. That was cowbell worthy. Okay, says Steve in New York. My confession. He's a New Yorker now. I actually like Chicago pizza as well as, if not better, than New York pizza. Where do I send my New York City resident card? Oh, just put it on the dresser and back slowly out of the room, Steve. I'm afraid a certain brother deacon's going to have an issue with a certain brother usher. Wow. Okay, this is fantastic. I just received an anonymous contribution of what works out to a half a week on me. My eyes just rolled back in my head. Thank you. That's profound and tremendous. And I think I'm probably going to go Black Friday shopping for, oh, who knows? We may actually be cooking on something besides a hot plate and a microwave here soon. That's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so very much to our anonymous friend. I can't say enough. Kyle, with a note a little bit ago, I was in the middle of my little rant and didn't see this come across. Kyle says, I think that the Republicans' plan was to beat us into submission by killing us, keeping us sick, etc. during this pandemic so they could pull off a coup when they thought we wouldn't be able to defend against it. I really think they thought that that far out, at least with weaponizing the non-response. They didn't expect it not to work. And moreover, this is end-stage capitalism shit. And adds, my brother, who is a full-time ICY nurse and a fill-in ER nurse, already quit his ICU job. I think he meant ICU. Full-time ICU nurse and a fill-in ER nurse already quit his ICU job because he couldn't take seeing so many of his patients die. So it's very real. Thanks for the January 5th reminder, Lou. Lou adds, it's hard to think terrorists aren't busy at work developing plagues. Yeah. But as we saw in this case, the terrorists don't need to develop plagues. They just need to sit back and watch an idiot and watch an idiot nation like ours fail to deal with the ones that develop quite naturally. It really is a lot more resource efficient. Our buddy Jake says, sorry to hear about today's horror show you were drafted into. I've had similar experiences here in Columbus. I've written to you. I've been verbally assaulted at convenience stores and physically assaulted on a city bus when calling out someone's ignorance and willingness to put others in danger, pointing out some assholes in my own family. I had a long-delayed physical exam at OSU Medical Center, that's the Ohio State University Medical Center, yesterday, and related a symptom that recently appeared to mimic COVID-eye that I've noticed over the past couple. Harder to get tested here than it was, but he sent me over to the nearby drive-in testing immediately. Today I've been experiencing chills, malaise, fatigue. Is it corona? As I sit here feeling like shit, angry at the continued willful ignorance and public health and concern from others beside themselves, I await my test results in quarantine. Public has become such a dirty word these days. Many school districts have excised it from their names. So much so that the idea of the public good, a notion that died beginning with Ray Gun, has been almost completely replaced with the selfish me-first attitude now pervasive in our society and that you experience today. I hope you stay well, Bob. By the way, as a gay man, I remember how we were demonized as AIDS spreaders, so much so that Republican lawmakers drafted severe penalties for even unknowingly infecting someone with HIV. Gee, how times change. Well, Jake, they haven't changed that much. If they could have found a way to pin this on the gay community, don't you think they would have? These fucking criminals are allowed to roam the streets and commit their fucking murder with impunity. Columbus and Ohio in general now have advisories to stay home and a recommended curfew starting Friday. They can't use words like order or required because these bearded bastards will be down storming the state house, spreading their virus and waving their guns all over the place. And what's our esteemed rock-ribbed Republican legislators been up to? Expanding concealed carry to bars, allowing stand your ground from residences, businesses, and bars that could also be adopted to protests. Oh, and passing a law preventing businesses being shut down. Yes, I agree with Steve and hatred because I'm filled with it toward Trump fuck, his nest of vipers, and anyone who supports and continues to support him and his fucking party. Meanwhile, I sit and wait. It's a fury when you feel it. It is a fury unlike any fury you may have recently felt. Okay, cowbell for Dave number 11. I see Tony Manero walking down the street with his two slices of New York pizza top to top to make a Chicago casserole. Out of my courtroom, Brother Deacon Asa. Case dismissed. Ooh, that's going to sting. Lee says, try not to hate on anyone or anyone else's food porn, to each his or her own. But when you make something different, just create a different name. Is it really so hard? Well, they did give it a different name, Lee. It's Chicago-style pizza. The word pizza does not belong to New York. And it's a little sloppy and doughy, but it's got a thicker crust on the bottom. And that's a crust. It's not a casserole. Damn it. What am I doing defending Chicago-style pizza? I don't think... I've had it once, maybe, I think. But it wasn't in Chicago. I reserved my eating in my one trip to Chicago for Chicago-style hot dogs and a Chicago hot beef. I was relying on the recommendation of native Chicago, greater Chicagoland area food expert Ben Birch. Okay, I screwed up a few minutes ago. The Kind Anonymous donation was not within the normal course of fundraising. It is outside the normal course of fundraising to help out with replacing that appliance. My mistake. I regret the error. It is outside the course of normal fundraising, so we will continue ordinary fundraising. And I hope I didn't just, dump the clip into my foot. Thank you to our anonymous friend. On a slightly different note, says Suman in Phoenix, trying to, I guess, lift my spirits. It's 91 degrees right now in Phoenix. It's usually in the 60s or 70s this time of year. But global warming's a hoax, you guys. This damned orange idiot screwed us up in the short term with the Rona and the long term with global warming. What a jackass. And we've had a warmer than average autumn, but it spat snow yesterday, and the nasty shit is on the way. So there's that. God, 91 degrees. Man, that's my sweet spot. Ooh. Oh, just dreaming of the long put away Speedos. That's me. On hating Trump, my opinion, says Irwin in Montana. Donald Trump is severely fucked up. We hate serial killers and other criminals. Trump is unable to be decent. I don't think it's possible for him. He really doesn't deserve our hate. In doing so, we're giving him the attention he breathes in like air for normal people. We should rather hate the people who enable him. They may realize they're doing wrong. That's my take. I understand that. Irwin, it sounds like you may actually be a more advanced form of human. Because I was feeling pretty hateful this afternoon. Well, this noon. It happened at noon. But the people who enable, curious you would bring that up. Because there is a great rasher of shit being handed out to outgoing Senator Martha McSally, who got her ass handed to her by Mark Kelly, husband of Gabby Giffords, astronaut Mark Kelly, who will now be the junior senator from Arizona. Well, it was time to go, and so they had a farewell photo in the Capitol. Let's see, where were they? I can't tell who that is that's floating in the water, drowning in that giant mural behind them. But it's the staff of Martha McSally, and it is comprised 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. It's comprised... Yeah, 11 young women, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 men. And they all look like happy little Republicans. And not one, wait a minute, 12. No, 10, no, 11. 11 young men and 12 young women. Maybe it's 11 and 11. I'm not ciphering real good right now. But they're standing on the steps, and they are as close to me as the hillbilly with the tobacco flake-encrusted tongue was to me earlier today. God, dinner time's taking a beating this evening. They're all just LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and grabulating and spewing and spraying and ha-ha and you know, just having a happy old Republican COVID-denying time. And there's not a mask among them inside the capital of the United States. Emily Cochran reported, Martha McSally choked up a few times as she gave her final speech in the Senate. Almost lost it a few times, but I kept it together, she says, as she fist bumps and elbows the dozen or so Republican senators present. Klobuchar was the only Democrat I saw. But then she took her, according to Ali Zaslav on Twitter, she took her goodbye photos with staff. And there they were, not a mask among them, just a gang of bioterrorist super spreaders. And even the sergeant of arms of the Senate had to get involved and told her and her staff to put their damn masks on and avoid and practice appropriate physical distancing. That's after they took this butthole to belly button, smarpin', larpin', smollickin', grabulatin', and lollygaggin' photo. You know, I've always kind of wondered, you know, are terrorists just assholes all the time? I mean, if you find yourself so motivated as to strap on a dynamite belt and walk into a police station in Kabul because your sister, your to-be brother-in-law, your baby brother, your baby sister, several aunts, several uncles, your mother and your father were all hellfire missiled by a United States drone, so you decide to strap on the... Are you an asshole 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Or is it something you've been driven to by the horrors and the trauma to which you yourself have been subjected? And how does that compare to these mask hole COVIDiots? Because I got a feeling they're assholes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, you know, in congressional staffs, there are pro staffers who move from office to office. But like the young interns and stuff, the lovely young ladies in that photograph and the eager, smiling, freshly scrubbed young men in their blue blazers and whatnot, those usually come from your district because you select them because they provide you with political capital among your voting base. And now, they're all going to go back to Arizona, Stan. Because even though they got a Democratic senator now, it's still a Stan state. Because we got Governor Ducey and whatnot. And all those eager, young, smiling faces are going to go back to Arizona talking about how they went to big, bad Washington, D.C., and they survived the Roner. And they ain't got the Roner, and it's probably a hoax, and they ain't going to wear no mask because feed 'em! Wolverines! Yeah, meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is probably loading up his shorts because he was hanging out in the last couple of days at the Republican Senate caucus meeting with 87-year-old Chuck Grassley, who once ate dinner off of Carol Baker's plate at I think it was a 4-H or maybe a girls' state or something meeting that Carol was part of. She told the story once on the air about how he had just reached over and got his knife and fork and got a bite of her dinner. And Chuck Grassley and his wife, Chuck Grassley, 87-year-old Chuck Grassley, has the Rona, tested positive, and was LARPing and smollicking and lollygagging and grabulating and wallering and spraying and spewing and barking and hooting and grunting all over his fellow congressional Senate Republican colleagues, I'm sure including Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, who is comfortably well off, but who thinks he can never get it because he's immune now and wants all the people who have had it to go to work in bars so we can go to bars and restaurants and stuff and have libertarian freedom! Fucking assholes. Bioterrorists. And back to my question. Are they assholes all the time? And I think these are. Might actually separate them from the people we call terrorists in the countries that we've invaded, who are reduced to terrorism as the only means they have to defend themselves against our occupation. Maybe. I could, of course, be entirely wrong. Oh, back to pizza. Arnold in PA says, as you talk about pizza, realize I'm a former New Yorker living in pizza hell, northeast Pennsylvania. No, pizza hell is Connecticut, Arnold. We've already talked with Darlene about that. I'm living in pizza hell, northeast Pennsylvania. These people think that American cheese on a square pie with flavorless sauce is some kind of delicacy. It's a goddamn nightmare. It makes Elio's look like gourmet. Elio's? Man, I am out of the loop. Well, here in my happy little tourist town, we've got a fantastic pizza joint. Their crust is wonderful. They're called Pies and Pints. And they do some gourmet pies, and they're kind of pricey, and you need to call your banker just like you would for a boat loan if you want to go get pizza there. Their grape and gorgonzola pie is to die for. Split red seedless grapes, gorgonzola cheese, a white sauce, and a drizzle of a balsamic vinegar reduction. Our daughter Margie would crawl across ground glass for that. Our other daughter, Doodle, on the other hand, would commit mayhem in exchange for one of their, what they call, pizza skins. It's a small pizza that, instead of having pizza sauce, has creamy, wonderful, buttery mashed potatoes on it, and is then covered with crumbled bacon and melted cheddar. And then they've got a regular, you know, pizza joint kind of pie, and it ain't shabby either. I'm sure that's some form of heresy too that I'll hear about from a purist brother deacon. No, by God, it's not. You're absolutely right, Bob, says Brother Deacon Asa. Gino's Pizza is the best of West Virginia. Oh, my God, did they really win the best of West Virginia? No, they couldn't have. The horror. Gino's always reminds me of that old Pink Panther cartoon. It was a short that involved the Pink Panther setting up a pizza delivery service, and it shows him delivering pizza to some, I don't know, like... Bedou tribesman in the heart of Saudi Arabia, and he opens the box, and the Bedou just takes it out, and it just sort of melts, and it just, and there's nothing left in his hand but what, you know, the crust. That's exactly what a Gino's pizza is like, even in West Virginia. You don't have to have 120 degrees in the shade to make it go. And I have had New York style pizza, or real pizza. I guess it's not New York style pizza. It's just pizza, and I've had it on the Lower East Side, and it was, by God, fantastic. And even with a thickness of five paper plates under it, the grease still bled through onto the desktop when I brought it back to the hotel room. It was that good. Jesus, yes indeed. I bet he thinks I forgot. I didn't. This too. Oh, dear. He's going to be so angry. According to the Law and Crime blog, lawyers, pettifoggers, who agreed for reasons, I guess, the money, because I heard that, saw somewhere earlier today that Rudy Giuliani is asking for $20,000 a day to be the Clarence Darrow of the Trump election fraud challenge court campaign. Yeah, $20,000 a day. Well, some of his pettifoggers in Pennsylvania have agreed that they will sign documents affirming that there is no evidence of fraud in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. According to the Law and Crime blog, the lawsuit filed last week by the campaign, as well as the Republican National Committee and two GOP candidates for state office, sought to have the Bucks County Court of Common Pleas invalidate more than 2,200 defective ballots that were counted following a review by the Board of Elections. According to Biden campaign attorney Mark Elias, the campaign agreed to sign a joint stipulation of facts, an instrument meant to provide the court with facts relevant to the case that are undisputed by either party in the action. This is how you narrow the issues for trial, which clearly disavows any claims that voting in the Commonwealth's fourth largest county was affected by any fraudulent conduct. Oh, that's going to leave a mark. Yeah, somewhere in the bunker, Donald Trump is hooting and hollering, Habazin gehat hatten gewortin sein! And Bucks County, Biden won by 4 points. Yeah. But like I said, I bet Joey thought I forgot, but I didn't. Oh, I'm wrong about Rudy. Jeremy in Vermont says, no, it's $20,000 an hour he's asking for. Whew! He must have some of the pictures. But Joey says, Bob! Wait a minute, make sure I got the right one. Here, let me check. But it does, it begins, Bob! Bob was off yesterday, so keep him in your thoughts, as I think he's dealing with some tough stuff. So we'll do a short Joey's Journal to try and keep Jeffrey out of it. Good luck. On this day, yesterday, the 17th of November, 1973, Richard Nixon proclaimed, I am not a crook. Ooh, that was perilously close to Jeffrey's voice. Oh, shit, there's Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, yes, and Bob thought he said, I am not a cook. Henceforth, Chef Bob Boyardee Kincaid hated Nixon from then on and wanted someone to cook his goose. Jeffrey, you're a suck-up. I kid. Yes, and Barry Goldwater, along with a couple of others in Congress, did just that as they informed Nixon that if he did not leave, he would be impeached. Jeffrey continues, I find it fascinating that a man by the name of Goldwater informed Nixon he would be impeached because of Watergate, which essentially sent Nixon packing and back to the Golden State. And thank you, Jeffrey, and as always, your analysis is as good as gold and never watered down. I think Nixon may have had a point because compared to Trump, Nixon looks like a saint. Jeffrey concludes, yes, 'tis the season, and I think during this Christmas season, while Trump is still in office and Melania is decorating the tree that she doesn't give a shit about anyways, we shall refer to Richard Nixon as Jolly Old Saint Nixon. Oh, Jesus. That was Joey's Journal for the 17th of November, 2020, with Giraffe just waiting to stick Melania at the top of the Christmas tree. Yow! And then for today, I thought this report was incredibly ironic, considering what your day may have involved yesterday. USA Care Facilities Report. Inadequate care facilities for alcoholics and mental health patients in West Virginia. At this time, the state of West Virginia does not have enough space available to deal with both alcoholics and mental health patients. The five major facilities where people with severe drinking problems are held are running out of room to deal with chronic drunks, let alone people with other severe mental health conditions. Now, the irony, Joey points out, is that this report is not from November 17th or 18th of 2020, but rather this report was from November 17th of 1953. I suppose a report from November 17th, 2020 might have to include some verbiage in regards to not having enough equipment and space to handle the COVID pandemic. What's that, Jeffrey? At this time, Jeffrey would like to do his best imitation of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice.
Not now, nor never, and under no form, state, way, shape, or fashion should the state of West Virginia be considered a decadent or declining state. These shacks we have for homes in the holler shack up, stack up with any of the most sophisticated projects in the country. Oops. Did I say projects? I meant to say dwellings anywheres in the whole wild, wonderful world of West Virginia. That's right. And you can even ask John Boy Walton about that.
John Boy was from Virginia, goddammit. Jeffrey continues with his Jim Justice imitation.
Furthermore, and let me make this abundantly clear, our state is very progressive, whatever the hell progressive means, as we have passed that there medical expansion deal, and every Friday night our youngsters are out there just playing their COVID cardiac hearts out while playing the football with all precautions in place because all them football players are wearing face masks. Now, in no way, shape, form, or fashion am I suggesting that the world-famous Bob Kincaid lives in a shack, and the reason being is that all the fine members of the horn-listening community donate on a regular basis, so please continue to go to headon.live and contribute to the program so that someday the one and only Bob Kincaid can live in, wait for it, yes, someday Bob and Agnes Kincaid can live in their own Joe Mansion.
I think I already live in his head. That's M-A-N-C-H-I-N. This has been Joey's Journal for Wednesday, November the 18th, with Giraffe just polishing up his passport so he can go to West by God, Virginia. I thought y'all were going
to Georgia.
And so, yes, we will conclude the third hour of the program with a $50 wild, wonderful West Virginia challenge, which will take us down to only $3.95 to go to, $3.45 to go to finish off fundraising up to this part of the week. Thank you, Giraffe, for the challenge, and thank you very kindly, Joey. And hopefully let's knock down that $50, because I was wrong in what I said earlier. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. Ah, thank you. Randy in PA says, Elio's, I believe, is a frozen store-bought brand. Confirmed by Bill in Allentown. 9 rectangular pieces in a box from the supermarket. My, oh my, doesn't that just sound taste tempting? And now I understand the reference from Arnold and PA. Damn it, Bob, says Jeremy. Whenever you talk about the Speedo, it makes me think about your threat to do naked radio on your front porch, nipple clips included, for the wireless mic as your children and grandchildren look on in abject horror at the way your pale pink skin glistens with the hot summer sun. Yep, that's my combined run at Rick's late snack with help from you, since you tagged me in with that image. I got to be careful about my powers. Jesus. A little too much detail there, Jeremy. I'm beginning to worry a mite. Never said anything about nipple clips for the wireless mic, did I? Maybe I did. It's been known to happen. Been known to forget things. And, well, sometimes you just get you just get overcome by the spirit, I reckon. And Todd in South Carolina Stan says, I have to agree with Arnold in PA. Northeastern Pennsylvania is the Death Valley of culinary delight. Jesus! I had to drive from Venango County all the way to Pittsburgh twice in 1 week for a decent meal. In Northeast PA, they call seasoning salt and pepper. Venango is in northwest Pennsylvania. Once out of Philly and Pittsburgh, forget about decent food. Oil City? Yuck. But there's good food in Pittsburgh, and I had some damn fine food in Philly. The rest of it's just a food desert? Yeah, you mean to tell me that the part of Pennsylvania between Philly and Pittsburgh that's Alabama doesn't even have any good? Oh, okay, there may be a correction. Jeremy, you may have been off. Jeremy, Asa tells me, may have been mistaken about Rudy. Here's the quote from Vanity Fair. Rudy Giuliani reportedly wants $20,000 a day to get laughed out of court on Trump's behalf. Well, if you're going to be humiliated, at least make him pay you for the privilege. And for some reason or another, We just buffered right the hell up. But now we're back. See what you did, Jeremy? Nipple clips, says Megan. Why not just add a G-string and a tutu while you're at it? Don't tempt me about the tutu. But believe you me, the G-string is no real shocker as opposed or as compared to the neon Speedo. No. Thank you, Jack, in Shreveport, meeting half of Joey's Wild Wonderful West Virginia Challenge, Joey and Giraffes. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks, Randy and Lee. It disappeared a minute, but I think I caught it fairly quickly, and we're back. Oh, I did. Jeremy says, yeah, nipple clips, you did. Still makes me laugh. Probably make me say, ow! Lee in New York, I've started a pizza thing. My last pizza comment for the night. It's not impossible to make pizza at home. One day, my wife had an urge for pizza. She used a biscuit recipe for dough. I knew it needed to be bread dough. I looked up how to make dough. I make pizza at home. I'm not implying it's the best, but it's clearly edible. Because, you know, Lee's still here. And his lovely wife. True. I mean, I've made fantastic pizza on the Acorn. You get one of the pizza stones, and you get you want the fire up. You know, this is one of those where you build a hot fire, and you want the fire up north of 600 degrees. And get yourself a good perforated pizza pan. Make your dough. Do the thing with the dough. Put the dough on. Put the sauce on. Whatever you want on it. Pop it in there, and about 10 minutes later, you got some kick-ass pizza. And you want to talk about a crunchy crust. Whoa! Yeah. And there's the question of the night coming from Darlene in Connecticut. Why hasn't Rudy Giuliani lost his law license? I'm beginning to wonder. If an attorney files a certain number of vexatious, I like vexatious, you like frivolous, lawsuits, you say tomato, I say tomato, we'll all just call it potato. Shouldn't said pettifogger lose his or her, okay, being feministic here, lose his or her fucking law license to practice? Especially Rudy with his Borat reveal? Just asking. Same with Bill Barr, by the way. I wouldn't even want to contemplate a Borat reveal with him. What can we do to make that happen, I should like to know? Seriously looking for a friend here, because I aced ethics in law school, but haven't really cogitated the nitty-gritty of all that in a long time. Well, the first rule is somebody has to file a complaint. And I presume Rudy is licensed to practice in the state of New York. So your complaint would lie to the New York Bar Association. And then you would have to pick through, and I don't know, Steve can answer this question. I don't know if New York follows the model rules of the MRPC, the model rules of professional conduct, or if it's all just kind of a mishmash and hodgepodge and cannons and howitzers and shit like that. But you got to pick through. And then you've got to put it together in the form of a complaint, and you got to make it stick. Then you got to hope he doesn't get appointed to the Supreme Court, because that cancels all bar complaints forever. Amen. It's kind of what Sheldon Whitehouse was talking about a couple of weeks back during the confirmation of Justice Handmaid. And in order to be vexatious or frivolous, they have to have no reasonable grounding in existing law or a good faith argument for a deviation or change therefrom. I'm trying to remember my language, but that's basically how it plays. But the other thing is, you would be surprised how much money is able to protect. I don't mean how much money, but you would be surprised at the degree to which fabulous amounts of money can protect the worst of lawyers. Because, for instance, a few years back, the biggest law firm at the time, I think, still is, in the state of West Virginia, Jackson and Kelly, which was referred to by my torts professor simply as the Death Star, or where the claims of widows and orphans go to die. They were hired by numerous coal companies to fight black lung claims. And they colluded in conjunction with Johns Hopkins, I believe it was, to create bullshit testimony to make sure that men who were dying horrible, I don't mean like horrible, horrible, I mean horrifying deaths that you would not even want to begin to contemplate, because that's what a black lung death is. Jackson and Kelly got stone cold busted conspiring to keep black lung claimants from receiving their benefits. And the conspiracy was such that it was contrary to existing law and was not in any wise a good faith argument in favor of a change of existing law. It was, in fact, a straight-up fraud upon the court. They were scarcely touched. Maybe a lawyer or two from Jackson Kelly may have had, you know, maybe they got suspended for a couple of months. Shit. A partner at Jackson and Kelly? Hell. They'll just get on their private Learjet and, you know, zip down to the condo in Cancun or Cozumel. Better yet, the beaches are shitty, but the banks are wonderful. The Cayman Islands. So I hope that sort of answers the question, Darlene. Yeah, Kevin points out, I think it was on MSNBC this afternoon, Rudy has said his strategy is to lose the lawsuits, hoping that one of them makes it to the Supreme Court. That's the same thing that I heard. And on top of everything else that we've reported in regard to COVID-19 this evening, the United States military has confirmed via CNN a record high number of coronavirus cases as of yesterday, with 1,314 new cases, according to data from the Defense Department. In the United States military, there are presently about 25,000 active COVID-19 cases. Another 44,390 service members have recovered from one degree to another from the virus. And like everywhere else, the number of military cases has been growing by leaps and bounds over the last few weeks. You know how they shut down the schools in New York for a 3% positivity rate? According to an official from the Department of Defense speaking to CNN, the positivity rate in the United States military is 6.8%. And overall, nationally, that compares with about a 10% positivity rate among civilians taking coronavirus tests. The Pentagon has persistently said, well, you know, we can maintain a lower rate because our troops are young and healthy and strong. And more particularly, that they can, by virtue of the force and effect and power of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, they can make people wear masks. And, you know, I don't care, Private Pyle, if you've got a great big galloping purple polka dotted asthma, and the HIPAA says that you don't have to tell anybody what the hell's wrong. No, Private Pyle. You'll wear that goddamn mask or you'll get court-martialed. You can wear this here mask or you can hang from that there tree. Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada is particularly hard hit. That's the home of what the Air Force refers to as the largest and most demanding advanced air combat training mission in the world. 37 United States Navy installations are dealing with the Rona. Norfolk, Virginia, San Diego, joint base with the Air Force at Pearl Harbor Hickam, and three facilities in Europe are also included in that. 59 Army installations are at higher protection levels. Fort Gordon, Georgia, Fort Bliss, Texas, that's near El Paso, which is on fire. And there, at Fort Bliss, families there and troops, apparently they know what, Paul from Parts Unknown has been telling us. Families and troops at Fort Bliss have to maintain 10 or more feet of social distancing. And they're under curfew from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. On the other hand, the Marine Corps says it doesn't currently have any bases at higher protection levels. Hoo-ah. Because, you know, the Marine Corps is probably way too macho to wear a sissy mask. They'd just rather be dead Marines. Meanwhile, Thomas says, suit up for shit and kill the dinner hour. My stepdaughter works ER, has been pulled back to work for 16-hour ICU shift. She's thinking about quitting. Basic care like clean the patient's evacuations takes time to carefully suit up for shit duty. Golly, Sergeant Carter, says Lee in New York. The Marines have to wear masks? Mustard gas attack? Yeah. I didn't know this. Lee in New York points out that, according to electoralvote.com, Giuliani misrepresented himself as a member in good standing of the D.C. bar when, in fact, his license is suspended for failure to pay dues. Ouch. Well, that's D.C. You bet she's still licensed in New York. So there's that. All right, so we got $25 to go on the Wild Wonderful West Virginia Challenge, courtesy of Joey and Giraffe. Thank you to Jack again. And we will continue with fundraising as per usual because I screwed up the announcement earlier. Thank you in advance. That'll get us down to $345 to go. All right, then. Our buddy Scott has been waiting patiently for oh so long, but I just had so much information I had to get to. I had to hold off. Are you there, Scott?
I are here, Bob.
Good.
Are you there?
Are
you there?
I would hope it is obvious.
NBC Moscow calling NBC New York. Are you there?
Are we reaching?
Have I ever sent you that blooper?
I don't think so.
The poor guy in Moscow for NBC at the little bureau there is trying to call New York. And the operator in Moscow is apparently not cooperating at all. And he goes on, NBC Moscow calling NBC New York. Are you there? And then you hear Russian talk in the background and just all kinds of horrid stuff. And this is from the 60s. I don't know how they transmitted the calls back in those days. But it weren't on satellites. So finally, after several rounds of NBC Moscow calling NBC New York, the guy says, and everything is normal, like a bucket of shit is normal. And it just cracks me up every time I think of it. And I don't know the name.
It wasn't a normal place he was living in.
No, and the voice didn't sound familiar to me because at various times, people like Edwin Newman and Irving R. Levine were both stationed at the NBC Bureau in Moscow, but it was neither of them, so I don't know. And I can't imagine Edwin Newman saying, like, a bucket of shit is normal because he was so proper with the English language, although that is a well-constructed comment, like a bucket of shit is, quote, normal. Anyway, that's not why I called. Why did I call?
It's the fact that he includes, quote, normal that makes it both art and journalism.
Yeah. Well, and he wrote a book about the English language, Plain Speaking, I think it was called. Or was that Merle Miller's book about Truman? I don't know. Look it up. It's on Amazon. And speaking of Amazon, earlier, seems like eons ago, earlier, one of the Horn family wrote in to mention having watched Hal Holbrook in Our Town. And I hope he or she is still listening. I didn't catch the name of the person who wrote. But if he or she has Amazon Prime, there is a lovely documentary featuring Mr. Hal Holbrook. And it is called Holbrook/Twain, An American Odyssey. And it's sort of a history and a behind-the-scenes look at his one-man show that he did for like 50 years.
Oh, yeah, that thing was magnificent. And by the way, that was Joy in Ann Arbor.
Joy, okay. Well, then it's not a him, it's a herm. So, hi, Joy. But anyway, if she has not seen Holbrook/Twain, An American Odyssey, It's like $4.99 to rent it. And there, other than a contribution to the Horn, there's not better money spent than to invest in that documentary. It's a lovely piece of work. I think you can buy it for $7. But and I think, as I recall, Hal Holbrook.
Does it include the entirety of the actual Mark Twain piece?
No, it's there are fragments of it, but it's just basically it shows him on the road going from place to place and how he got his start doing it, and you see him backstage making himself up. Oh, and it's just lovely. It is the embodiment of an artist who is inspired in terms of the work that he did with Mark Twain tonight, but who after 5 decades continues to love his work. It's just brilliant. It's a lovely documentary. I recommend it to Mark Twain fans and Hal Holbrook fans from coast to bloody coast.
Did Hal Holbrook write that? Or I guess the better term would be to say edit that. Did he pull together all that Twain material?
As I recall, he did. And he changed it over the years. He didn't always use the same material. And what he would do as the thing grew in popularity, and there was a record album of it and a CBS primetime special in 1967, which is also on YouTube, Mark Twain Tonight, the original CBS telecast. As I recall, as he would take this thing on the road, after a while he would visit towns he had been to before, and he would change it up. He'd be constantly discovering and researching new fragments to drop in, and he would keep a log of places where he did the show previously and what segments he used. He was very conscientious about it, too. So, yeah, it was the show that you heard in Cleveland in 1964 was not the same show that you got in Cleveland 5 years later, is what I'm saying. Watch that documentary. Have you seen it?
Not the documentary.
Yeah, definitely put that on your list, because I think you and Agnes... Well, I know you and Agnes. I mean, you know, anybody who's intelligent and wise and loving and cultured and learned, and that I would say...
Well, see, I'm still such a nerd that from time to time, and it never seems to get old as long as I don't do it too much.
Yeah.
From time to time, I just haul out my collected works of Mark Twain, and Agnes and I will sit together, and I will read... The Adventure of the McWilliamses with Membranous Croup.
Mm-hmm.
And it is death to Agnes. I mean, it's devastating.
And it's something about a familiar thing, a familiar piece, that no matter how... This is what determines a classic. No matter how many times you've read it or heard it, it still resonates as fresh and new.
And God, his color with the language...
Oh, yeah.
Is incomparable to this day. Some people touch upon it. Oddly enough, Raymond Chandler could get close. You know, Philip Marlowe, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond Chandler mm-hmm. could get close.
Speaking of which, last night or the other night, TCM played like the 1,000th rerun of The Big Sleep. With Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart and others.
Which is a fine film, but because of censorship issues.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going with it. I read up about it.
They had to clean it up. And even cleaned up, it's pretty creepy. But what I was going to say about Twain is that...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
his magic with the language is eternal. And I happily and freely steal from him. You've heard me say it on a number of occasions. So-and-so was as quiet as a graven image. That's yep. Twain. That is from The Adventure of the McWilliamses with Membranous Croup. Because Mrs. McWilliams says, "Oh, dearest, baby seems to be sleeping so quietly. To which Mr. McWilliams replies, "Darling one, baby always sleeps like a graven image."
Yeah.
Because graven image is Elizabethan English language from the Bible, and he tapped into that in his Victorian era, and it just fits in so seamlessly. And for modern practitioners of the art of word knowing, it's still good stuff.
Yeah, timeless.
Truly.
Timeless, yeah. Yeah, so check that out. Any of you who have an internet connection, well, obviously, if you're listening to the show, you're going to have an internet connection. Fire up your old Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, and of course, I howl and scream to this day every time I reread Twain's The Awful German Language.
I don't believe I've read it.
Oh. If you haven't, I envy you. Find it. Read it. It's available online. If you've ever studied any kind of foreign language, but particularly German, it is absolutely devastating. The line where he says, "I ran into an old acquaintance of mine from California over here who told me, 'Mr. Twain, I should rather decline two drinks than one German adjective.'"
Yes, it's an angry sounding language, even when they're speaking nicely or kindly or whatever. I never took German. I didn't dare. I didn't dare. I would feel like I would lose part of my soul or something if I even embarked upon German one, you know?
And a little bit ago when I said that Trump was somewhere in the bunker howling Haben Sie gehört, Hatten gewortens sein?
Yeah.
That's from The Awful German Language. I'm giving away all the secrets here, but...
Yeah, yeah.
But is anybody who knows Twain hears those phrases and goes, "Ah, I know what he's read."
Well, there's a film... I don't know whether it was a British film or what. Maybe it was a German film, which features Hitler in it, like a theatrical type film. And whoever the copyright holder was got very angry about 10 years ago because every time a public figure would go off.
Yes, it was a Hitler. It was Hitler Finds Out. That is from a brilliant movie called Untergang, Downfall.
Okay. Okay.
And the guy who played Hitler was genius, but what is even funnier, and in no wise does it diminish the horrors of the Holocaust, but oh my God, you've done it now. You've done it, Scott. Hold on.
I know. I always do it.
You said doo-doo.
Shit.
That too.
Now you're
just
NBC
redundant.
New York.
Wait, you missed that one. That was good. I said doo doo, and you said shit. Now you're just redundant. let's see.
Just so I don't repeat myself. That's all I'm concerned about.
Let's see what the latest and greatest ones that pop up. Let's see. Hitler finds out he's Jewish and black. Hitler finds out the Mueller investigation is over. Hitler has coronavirus and he's mad. Because it's all in the original German, which, of course, means nothing of this, but it is subtitled.
Well, when they put the phony subtitles.
Yeah, well, okay, let's go with this one.
All right, which one is it?
Hold on, let me make sure I've got the right one. Hitler finds out Biden has won the election.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Biden is on the brink of winning the election. Votes are still being counted in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania. Biden is on course to win the majority of these swing states. If Biden wins Pennsylvania, he will have over 270 electoral college votes. And of course, this is with the general staff. Hitler's seated there. He's got a map of the greater northern Germany, Berlin area. And he's just not handling it well because the guy who
he does what I call an Oliver Hardy slow burn before he speaks.
Yeah, and with the glasses, the guy's a genius. Yeah. Bruno something, I think, is his the actor's name.
Yeah,
but it pissed him off. It pissed off the producers. but it will not go away, and apparently they can't take them down as fast as they put them up.
Yeah.
Because, oh, you know, Hitler finds out the Cowboys lost to Green Bay is hilarious. Just because the premise is so absurd. Okay, here we go. Biden will lose. I'm sure Trump will have another shock victory.
Mein Führer. Steiner.
Biden.
Steiner konnte nicht genügend
Biden has won over 270 electoral college votes.
Der Angriff Steiner ist nicht erfolgt.
Biden has won the election. And there's that slow burn. The shaking hands, palsied from the bombing, reach for the face, remove the glasses. All those who voted for Biden just to get rid of Trump, please leave.
Krebs und Burgdorf.
Meanwhile, everybody's gathered out in the hall of the bunker, including Ava Brown.
Das war ein Befehl!
That old fool won! The U.S. will have a senile president! But I'm sure this election was rigged because Trump was winning until the ballot dumps suddenly appeared. Biden will be an awful president. He won't last 4 years. Biden only won because so many were sick of Trump. Biden has spent 47 years in politics and people think he's going to bring change and solve all of America's problems after 47 years of nothing. I could almost swear this was written by a sparkle pony. Mein Führer, a senile president is better than an orange president. Biden sniffs women's hair and touches children inappropriately. I mean, really, maybe this is from the Jimmy Dore show. I don't know.
Mein
Führer, who cares? Anyone's better than Trump. Look forward to Biden raising your taxes, taking your guns, and selling out to China. The media helped Biden to win. They covered up all the corruption and scandals. Any accusations against Biden were just dismissed as Russian disinformation. President Biden will probably end up being replaced by Harris. It's going to be overrun by the radical left who want the U.S. to be a socialist paradise. Biden will be told what to do. I'm not sure this isn't the Young Turks. Biden has such a poor memory, he probably thinks Russia is still ruled by Stalin. It's an awful choice for president. I would have been a better choice. And I've been dead for 75 years. Fuck's sake. Trump really fucking screwed up with the virus, and that probably handed victory to Biden. All Biden had to do was not be Trump in order to win this awful election. I hope the liberals are happy now. Their president's going to be an old white rich man who has even said racist things. I really can't believe America has elected a perverted, senile old fool.
Bitte gerne. Jetzt beruhig dich doch.
And this is not the same one I saw earlier, but this is a woman leans over to a young woman who's crying and says, "Don't worry, Jared. You'll still be rich." So that's the Sparkle Pony version. Bruno Ganz plays Hitler, and he also turned in that spectacular performance of in Nosferatu the Vampire. There's so many of them. Hitler finds out Paula Deen's been canceled from the Food Network. Uh, Let's see. Hitler finds out about the Ghostbusters reboot. Hitler finds out the iPhone 7 has no headphone jack. Hitler finds out people know about his micro penis. Let's see. Hitler finds out Dimebag Daryl's dead. Hitler finds out LeBron James and the Miami Heat choked in the 2011 NBA Finals. Hitler finds out Santa isn't real. That's a lie, children. Hitler finds out about the NHL's 2014 playoff format. God, there's... Hitler finds out his subtitles have been altered. I mean, there's hundreds of these.
The producers Hitler, of that show must have given up.
Let's see. Hold on. This is probably the best one. Yeah. Yeah, let's try this.
Im Süden hat der Gegner Zossen genommen und stößt auf Stahnsdorf vor.
Pointing at the map, he says, your birthday celebrations will be here and around here. This year has a sellout crowd, hence the expansion into this area here.
Jetzt am nördlichen Stadtrand zwischen Frohnau.
But unfortunately, Pink has pulled out as Justin Timberlake's support act.
Und Pankow. Und im Osten ist der Feind bis zur Linie Lichtenberg-Marsdorf-Karlshorst gelangt.
Mit dem Angriff Steiners.
No problem. Michael Jackson can just do a longer set instead.
Wird das alles in Ordnung kommen?
Mein Führer. Steiner.
Michael.
Steiner konnte nicht.
Michael Jackson suffered a heart attack last night.
Der Angriff Steiners nicht.
Sir, the King of Pop is dead. Again. The glasses, the slow burn.
Es bleiben im Raum.
Anyone who does not own Thriller, Bad, or Dangerous, leave now.
Das war ein Befehl!
How dare that fucker die? He was supposed to perform for me this weekend. I fund his surgery, and this is how he repays me. I even paid his legal fees. I swear to God, if I get a single text message with a pedophile joke, I'll hit the fucking roof. My Führer, we're doing everything we can to stop these texts. Burn every fucking phone mast to the ground! But then we'll have no 3G video calls. 3G. We're all fucked. All we're going to hear on Radio 1 for the next 2 months will be play after play of Heal the World until we're all shitting rainbows. Oh, Jesus, I can't help it. Yeah. But watch that movie sometime, Untergang.
I'll
something.
Look for it.
By the way...
Well,
Other viewing tips. Dave number 11 writes, the second season of One Mississippi is so fantastic, it's worth slogging through the first season. It was axed after that because of its association with Louis C.K. as producer. Find it on Amazon Prime. Also on Amazon Prime is the series Alex Rider. It is a cross between a teenage Bond, complete with MI6, and the plot of Hannah. It would be hard to screw that up, you'd think. You would be wrong. Pass on this one. And I'll add... We did finish watching Barbarians, German Netflix production. A little soap opera-ish, but man, stick around for the very ending in the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest. Whoa! And it's culturally relevant because I didn't realize that from the fall of the Third Reich to very nearly modern day, many German school children, most German school children, were not taught about the Battle of the Teutoburg Forest, which changed forever the face of Europe in the Roman era because it had been co-opted by the fucking Nazis. And so this is all totally new to entire generations of Germans. And there's nothing Nazi about it. It just got co-opted as German nationalism grew in the late 19th century. And when I went there to visit 8 years ago, there were drunk Nazis, you know, young, drunk, skin-headed Nazis hanging around forlornly on the plots before you walked up to this giant statue of Arminius. So, that. Cynthia points out, he sounds like Major Hochstetter from Hogan's Heroes. And I never knew both Klink and Sergeant Schultz were Jews who fled from Nazi Germany. I found out reading about them over on IMDb. Take that, Hitler! Werner Klemperer was the son of the famous conductor.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
And John Banner played Sergeant Schultz and was brilliant and died young.
Well, you know what's weird is they both, as actors in this country, were working long before Hogan's Heroes, because in recent weeks I've gotten onto this, and I may have mentioned it to you, watching old episodes of Perry Mason with Raymond Burr and the rest of that crew.
Ooh, where are you watching that?
Something called FETV is one of the channels, and MeTV carries it, and there's one other.
That would be a great time suck. I think I can get MeTV.
Well, they're just great. It's funny. I never watched the show when it was on the network, but what got me into it was the reboot of Perry Mason on, I don't know whether it was Amazon or Netflix. It was like a miniseries, a modern redo of Perry Mason. And I said, well, let me see if I can find the source material, the original series. And so I looked on my TV on-screen guide and found that multiple episodes a day on that FETV, like morning, noon, and night. And they're great. And all the actors who are probably just starting out, and that's a gig, you know, in the late 50s, early 60s, they get signed for an episode of Perry Mason as either one of the victims or one of the perpetrators. And, you know, and it's not great, grand, and glorious TV, but it's still, you know,
golden age stuff
for me. Yeah, yeah. But the other night, there was an episode with Colonel Klink. And a long time before that, an episode with John Banner, you know, Sergeant Schultz. I know nothing. But,
I've got some background on the guy who played Hitler in Untergang. Bruno Ganz was a great Swiss actor. He died a couple of years ago, Flavio tells us. He was also in a few Italian movies. He speaks Italian as well, since he's from the Canton. Of Switzerland.
I thought Canton was in China.
No, but what we call counties are called cantons in Switzerland.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
Going to hell. Just going to hell, that's all.
Just trying to be weird, that's all.
I think, Scott, we get the idea. You don't have to expend a whole hell of a lot of effort on that.
What is the deal, though, Bob?
May come naturally.
What is the deal, seriously speaking, as we're 63 days away from the inauguration, if everything goes as planned? You know, we joke about Trump being in the bunker, emulating launching into his Hitler act. And I don't mean the Dick Shawn in the Zero Mostel production in The Producers Hitler. I mean Mean Old Nasty Hitler. you know, it is with each passing day, it doesn't get any, his mental state, let's face it, does not get any more stable. I mean, he was losing ground over the past 4 years, and he's been handed this defeat, acknowledge it or not, you know, where's his head? And are people brushing up on the 25th Amendment? Because, I mean, see, you, and it's a telling point, the thing with Giuliani getting asking for $20,000 a day to defend him in a dwindling number of courts. You know, it's a hell of a thing when the scammers start scamming the scammers. And I, you know, yeah, Election Day was all well and good, but there's that lame duck period, and that's where much mischief can be made. You get what I mean? I mean, I don't, you know, it's like that uncomfortable feeling, like.
Well, I mean, here's the answer, because, you know, we had that news story over the last few days, maybe it was over the weekend, that he's been asking his
my generals,
you know, like they're his possessions.
Oh, yeah.
He's asking them, what are his options in terms of attacking Iran? And this is one of those moments that I've dreaded over the last 4 years.
Well,
because what terrifies me is if he declares you attack Iran, I know damn good and well that there are military brass whose first response will be to snap a salute and say yavol, or I mean yes sir.
Yeah. Well, earlier you did a poll. Somebody was wanting to know where will Trump be on January 20th, and you listed a number of options, but you left out one. If you were scared with the talk about, you know, attacking Iran, this will give you watery bowels, Bob. The one that you left out was Mount Weather. You've heard of Mount Weather.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're in there, you're in impenetrable space. And as president, he's still given full access, one would think. And you talk about making mischief.
Right, and the Congress will be at the Greenbrier.
Yeah. Don't take your ease quite yet a while, folks, because we've still got a ways, and I don't mean to be paranoid about it, but we're dealing with someone who's a manifest lunatic, a delusional, demented, inept fool who has been tossed out of office. And he's counting down the days, and he's not taking it well. How's that for being the master of understatement?
Well, yeah, and that's what Agnes and I were talking about. She said, you know, what happens if he says push the button? Well, we got way too many generals and admirals and whatnot who'll say, yes, sir, button going to be pushed. And so we find ourselves in a position of hoping that they'll say, no, sir, no, this is one I'm going to get it. This is an order I think I'm okay disobeying. But all you can do, because there's no proof, and it's certainly not particularly well represented in American history, that they'll say, nope, sorry, you're batshit crazy. We're not going to start World War III just because you're having a fit.
Yeah, General Ripper,
and remember,
I presume.
Right. And remember, this is the guy going in, Scott, who asked,
what's the point of having nuclear weapons if we can't use them?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, how's that for feeling a little runny?
Well, and here's the thing. You gave the options, and it was a full 25 or 30 minutes before Mount Weather as a locality and an option popped into my head. And I scared myself when it happened. Maybe I've seen, what is that movie with Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster, 7 Days in May?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Watch that. Yeah. Great minds, you know. And if Hollywood can tell a story about it, and God knows that movie is over 50 years old. You know, if Hollywood can do a film about it, it's occurred to others since then. And in more nefarious, insidious ways. That's the scary part. There's not a screenwriter alive who can come up with stuff scarier than what resides in the, you know, spirochete-ridden, riddled mind of Trump. What's left of it? You know, what do you call them? The gray settlings? The sloshing settlings or whatever?
That's another That's another Twain thing. The thin gray settlings that slosh around between his ears and pass for brains.
There you go. Oh, by the way, earlier you used an expression, and I'm wondering if you got it from me. Kittens with crocheted tails. It makes me smile every time you say it.
No, I didn't. I didn't get it from you. I got it from someone. Ooh, Jesus. 35 years ago.
Oh, wow. Well, then, because I've used it before. And I know my mother used to use it.
Alongside the phrase, wouldn't know him from Adam's house cat.
Wouldn't know him from Adam's house cat. Is that a Twain?
No, not that I know of. But it's a Southernism because the guys who formed up and are now the Drive-By Truckers, their first band was called Adam's house cat because they were unknown.
Ah. Wow. Now, that when you fired up the old microphone at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock today, Bob, did you anticipate going down these? This is what I love about this.
I don't anticipate. I don't even try to anticipate anymore. I knew what I wanted to get across.
And you did.
And I was pretty well done to a tender turn by the time I got home, you know, because of the, you know, the Jesus. If you sat me down with a police sketch artist, I could come up with not only a picture-perfect rendering, but in fucking 3D, right down to every last little disgusting speck of tobacco on that old freak's tongue.
Well, are we to presume that the guy is not able to read? Because the way you described that sign on the door with letters 2 feet high, it seems like it's pretty clear to most people entering.
Well, he had his cipher and his numbers good enough to know when to quit pumping gas.
And what does a store do in a case like that? In this case, nothing, obviously. But isn't that private property? Because these people say, "Well, what I do."
Yeah, sure it is. You got to remember, 70% of the people, roughly, in this state, voted for Trump. So that means you've got a 7 out of 10 chance that the lawyer advising this chain is probably a Trump voter and thinks it's a goddamn hoax too.
Well, you know, there's that. They're going to get crazier because they've already been primed for 4 years to, within reason, do whatever the fuck you want because our orange god in Washington says it's okay. And you know how people are. You tend to get into routines. You know, the normalization of aberrant behavior is what it amounts to. And in the midst of a fucking pandemic, even if you don't think it's real, have they lost... You know, Joseph Welch, who was at the Army McCarthy hearings up against Joe McCarthy.
At long last, sir, have you no shame, yes.
Yeah, have you no sense of decency? Well, apparently decency's gone out the fucking window during these past 4 years and maybe a good while before that.
Well, why do you think I crafted the campaign slogan, America, you can have decency or Donald? One or the other, you pick, can't have both. They cannot coexist, decency or Donald.
And, I mean, I sincerely hope that, and see, that's another thing. Another, you know, three things that would be wise investments for everybody within the sound of my voice. Obviously, supporting the horn and keeping this work going. Also, the Mark Twain thing on Amazon Prime that I mentioned. But another thing, fire up your old device and go on to Act Blue and send $10 to be equally split to Mr. Ossoff and Reverend Warnock.
Sounds like a fine use of $10.
Well, and I have committed. I did it this month. I'm doing it in December, and I'm doing it as soon as the eagle flies in January, even though it'll be cutting it close, because that's how much we need this to happen. We need even a 50-50 tie with Vice President Harris as the tiebreaker is going to matter. Now, and that's under great circumstances if Democratic senators will vote as a block, and they don't always, as we well know.
Oh, no, I've got the flop sweats at the idea that we get 50-50. And just to, you know, just to be the racist asshole that I think resides deep in his soul, Joe Manchin finally does it and changes parties and makes it 51-49 and keeps Mitch McConnell in power.
That's not a far-fetched notion either, what you just said, because it's happened before. There have been a number, and just in the last 10, 15 years, there have been a number of people who have switched parties.
What if you went to a vain guy like Joe Manchin and said, "Hey, we've already got it worked out. Whoever the 2024 nominee is, you're going to be his vice president."
That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. Because you know they don't even like the idea of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris being president and vice president come January 20th. They sure as hell don't want for it to be anything other than a one-term presidency, because it fucks with their plans.
Well, if it's not a one-term presidency, that means you got better than even odds that you get a black woman president inaugurated January 20th, 2025.
Yeah, but they're not going to sit idle.
No, hell, that's motivational for them.
Yeah, and here's another newsflash. They're not going to sit idle in the midterms in 2020, because these fuckers they're paid not to sit idle, you know?
Well, it's like something Boss Man Wayne said 15 plus years ago. Republicans never take a year off. They don't take a month off. They don't take a week. They don't take a day. Those wheels are spinning perpetually.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out new, different, and more devious ways to screw this country blue.
Yeah, they're upholding the, in their mind, great tradition of Reagan and Newt and a whole cast of.
Well, they're saving the free market.
Well, of course they are. Of course they are.
Because free market Jesus demands the free market be saved.
And the thing is, there may have been a time in our history when playing nice was a viable option, okay? But if we haven't learned by now that it's almost impossible to coexist with these people in the halls of government in any useful way, because they're rat fuckers. Pull out your Watergate era lingo dictionary and look up rat fuckers. It's just the way they're wired. I was hoping
it goes further than that. They see themselves as being so close to their ultimate goal, and they're not going to give up now. It's kind of...
Well, they're like Alpo cereal, not a speck of cereal. There's not a speck of give up in any of them.
And see, Flavio says, Joe Manchin will morph into Zell Miller. I got 50 cents on it. Well, I won't bet against you. Put your 50 cents back. I don't want to lose my 50 cents.
Yeah, Zell Miller. There's one of them.
Bomb Iran, Jude asks, yes, anything is a possibility every moment until January 20th, 2021 with Trump. So where to place one's focused energy even when traveling with what appears to be helplessness? Remember, we're alive, functioning, and awake. Just because we're unable to meet in person, there's a deeper connection. You know what I'm getting at. I do. You know, what's the old saying? Free your mind, your ass will follow.
Yeah. And see, the thing is, I would like to be, you know, the relentless optimist that I usually am. But none of this has ever happened before in the sense that each new day is a new day dawning. And the circumstances are such that, and I use this analogy, I think, even before he was elected regarding Trump. If you imagine a rat, a city rat, up against a dead end in an alley, up on its hind legs, snarling and spitting at you, you're dealing with a vicious creature whose primary goal is self-preservation. And if it means taking the rest of us down with him, well, shit happens. You know? And maybe none of this will happen. Or if it does happen, it'll be a milder version of what I've described. But I'm just old enough and wise enough, Bob, and I know the Horn family members are as well, in each in their own way, that we know how these people operate. And if 4 years of Trump hasn't convinced you, I mean, how does he stay in power? Well, it's his enablers in the House and the Senate and the judiciary, and God knows 71 million of them who somehow banged enough brain cells together to fill out a ballot. And
I know.
I don't know, man. I could use some reassuring words because I'm capable of painting these
scenarios. I don't know. All I know is I watch these death throes. That literally a Stalinesque purge of members of his administration.
Purge is a perfect word.
They unceremoniously fired the guy who said we had a clean, fair election. Gone.
Fuck him. You know, that's the mindset. That's the mindset.
And as Robert in Morgantown reminded me a few minutes ago, Israel struck Iranian installations inside Syria today.
Oh.
And, you know, that might have been the come-hither look that Trump was looking for from that weird little psycho Bibi.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because they do send each other messages, subtle or otherwise.
Oh, and I got a message from Darlene, and we got to wrap up because I'll probably be getting a phone call here in just a matter of minutes. Even though I'm far more and this is the nicotine pouch hiccups. Even though I'm far more of a Laurel and Hardy fan over a Charlie Chaplin fan, Charlie Chaplin and Stan Laurel came over together on the same vaudeville boat back in the day. I have to admit, Chaplin did the best imitation satire of Hitler in The Great Dictator. I'd love to have heard his rendition of today's events in his Hitler character. And P.S., in regard of Hogan's Heroes, my family has always insisted that Bob Crane was my cousin. Although I never had the opportunity to meet him, I've heard sure he was your cousin. Ironically, not only was he born on July 13th like me, he was also born in Waterbury, Connecticut, just like me. That's where my parents were born and raised, too. I was also told he was Albanian, just like me. I'm part Albanian. So the relation had to come from the paternal side of my family. And P.S., Bob Crane does have the features of an Albanian. Just say it. So,
I would go to one of those genealogy sites to research that. I read a book about him.
That whole story is so bizarre. And up to Hogan's Heroes, It's a fantastic story of hard work and determination. You know, local DJ makes good.
Well, not only that, but he was a top-notch drummer in the tail end of the big band era. And if you want some great classic radio entertainment, there are some audio clips on YouTube of his work as the morning guy on KNX, the CBS station in Los Angeles.
That's what I'm talking about. Stockton Leary asking, has Bob Crane's murder ever been solved? Not to completion. No, I don't think so. And as for the guy that James refers to as Manchin Eel, I think he sticks with the Democrats. Like you said, he's the Democratic Party in West Virginia. If he was to switch, he would maybe have to get in line. I'm not naive enough to believe that he would never do it, but he's been displaying a fairly even keel lately, except for the part where he said that he would stop any attempt to remedy the inequities on the court, and there ain't going to be no Medicare for all. And we're not going to defund the police, which nobody's actually talking about. And James says, Scott, it's not the enablers, it's the maggots. Just saying. So I get his point. But I got to get out of here because I know there's a phone call coming. So we will talk more again.
Well, okay, and I'm sorry to the Horn family. I so wanted to be upbeat, but then I got to thinking, and you know that never goes.
That's never any good. But I got it, Scott. I gotta get out of here because I know I'm going to be getting a call.
All right, take care, man.
All right, later. Sorry, I don't mean to run Scott off, and we often run over time, but I'm expecting to hear from Ferg. So that's that. We got $25 to go on Joey and Giraffe's Wild Wonderful West Virginia Challenge. It would be wonderful if that got met. Thank you. And then tomorrow we'll be looking at, if it is met, we'll be looking at 6:45. Okay? Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air with your contributions, your subscriptions, PayPal, Patreon, a la carte, all of that. Much appreciated. Thank you tremendously for the anonymous appliance gift. Thank you. That is tremendous. I'm out of words. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan, Pinch Hit, Midweek Chat Room, Utility Moderator, all-around great guy, and Brother Deacon now in the chat room. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Hey, in about 54 minutes, I'll be subbing for Mike Malloy on Progressive Voices on TuneIn, but it'll also run on HeadOn.live, and that's always the best place to listen to the Malloy program when you're listening in the 9 o'clock first run slot. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Please stay safe, and all of our friends in Oz. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. You stay safe too, Ben. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Oh, please stay safe. The best way to stay safe is to stay home. If you cannot stay home, then wear your mask and wear your gloves and wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Maybe carry some hand sanitizer spray with you wherever you go. Maintain your social distance. For God's sakes, if somebody won't get out of your way and sticks out their tongue, their tobacco crumb encrusted tongue, and coughs at you, God, avoid those people like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.